Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
What a joy it is to be here today at New Song on the 40th year. You know, not many churches last this long. Do you know that? They live 10, 20, 30 years, they're gone. They're history. But Pastor Richard had a vision for this house, and we couldn't take it away from him. He just said, I'm going to build a house of the Lord down there and Grand Avenue, LK now? Okay. So it's just a joy to be here. And I love this man because he's so positive. And I think most of you know that. I was given a slip by my wife. She said, this might be something you want to read. And listen, this applies to this man over here. An optimist says the cup is half full. A pessimist says the cup is half empty. The child of God says, my cup runneth over. And it's so true. I've never been around this man without feeling an urgency to keep pushing in and pressing in and loving people and loving God and loving what he's doing in the earth. I'm going to give you probably a little strange message. I want to talk to you about the power of a faith attitude. Now, there's three kinds of faith in the Bible. One is that it's called saving faith. Everyone here probably has experienced saving faith when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and by his grace you were saved. Faith that saves you. How many have experienced saving faith? Oh, almost every hand here. That's great. I'll give an altar call later for the rest of you. Then in 1 Corinthians 12, under the gifts of the Spirit, we have the gift of faith. And that is something that we experience. And we don't even know why, but suddenly I have faith to take that mountain. And it's called the gift of faith. I wish it worked all the time, but it doesn't. But God sovereignly comes down and he puts the gift of faith in you for that particular challenge. Then there's the attitude of faith. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. The attitude of faith is determined by what you believe about any given subject or situation. What you believe. Now, I've pastored 44 years, the same church also, so I know what Pastor Richard is going through. There are certain people, I do not ask them the question, how are you? Because I know I'm going to get all kinds of negative. Oh, I got an aching back and my knees don't work. I might lose my job and things aren't really going too good. That's the kind of person I don't bother ask him, how are you? Because there's no faith. There's no faith. And I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'm sure we've all met people that if we ask them how they are, they'll tell you how bad things are. They're going to lose their job. And they have a negative attitude. That's the faith attitude. What is your faith attitude? Because that determines how you live. The word belief means you live in accordance with it. For example, if I said there's a bomb up here and it's going to go off in the next 60 seconds, what would you do if you really believed it? Run. You'd all head for that door to get out of here, because you would do what you believe. And that's very important to understand. That's why it's this faith attitude really determines your future, determines how you live. And they surveyed 100 millionaires out of New York that were very prosperous. And they wanted to find out what made them prosperous. And they found there was only one thing. Some came from poor families, rich families, had wealth, had no wealth, but they were 100 New York millionaires. And they found out one thing all of them had in common, that they all could see something good and something that they could trust in the rich people, because they saw everything is good. God is blessing me. And they weren't necessarily Christians even. They were just had a faith attitude. And that's what I want to talk to you about. How is your faith attitude? There's a scripture over in the Bible, over in Romans 14:23, it says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Wow. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, if you turn over to the scriptures over into Hebrews, the third chapter, I want to read something that's very interesting. Romans, or Hebrews, the third chapter, it says that we're to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, what comes out our mouth. And it talks about the house being built. It's been built by the Lord. And verse 6 says, Christ as son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. It tells us here, if you understand the word confidence, that means faith. Anytime you see the word confidence, it means you're holding fast to your faith and the rejoicing of the hope, firm to the end. Now, we're here today, and we have to ask ourselves a question. What brings us to the house of the Lord? What causes us to give our lives entirely over to the Lord? Well, it's our faith in Him, our faith in the Bible, our faith in the church, our faith in the body of Christ. It's what we believe about Jesus, what we believe about his people, his church, and that's why we are here. But if you go on and read down in Hebrews, the third chapter, verse 12, it gives us an interesting warning. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Let me say that again. He compliments them for their faith, that your faith is what is holding you strong. But beware, he says it, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, that tells me that God does not respond to unbelief. You can say, I don't believe this. I don't believe God's going to help me. I don't believe God can take care of me. I don't believe. And guess what? He can't help you. Because God only responds to faith. And You and I, and I've grown up in the house of the Lord from, I was saved when I was 8 years old, and I know that my faith has taken me through my life. My faith in Jesus, my faith in the house of God, my faith in the body of Christ has really kept me strong and kept me going on. And I would like to just challenge you right now to check out what you believe about everything. If you notice, there are 6,000 promises in the Bible. Did you know that? Over and over and over and over again. I can do all things through Christ. Greater is He. The Lord is my strength. If God be for us, who can be against us? God will supply all of our need. But did you notice? He didn't say, the Lord is my strength sometimes. He doesn't say He will provide all my needs most of the time. Everything about God's word is positive. He will take care of you. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread most of the time. No. Never seen the righteous forsaking or his seed begging bread. This area of faith in the little things is very important to God. I want to read a few scripture. In Proverbs 6:2, it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken captive by the words of your mouth. He says this, whatever you confess is where you rise to. If you say, I can't get any help from God, you won't get any help from God. If you say, I'm weak, then you will always be weak. But if you say what God says, the Lord is my strength. And when I say it, guess what happens? He becomes my strength. I can now accomplish things I need. Now notice Matthew 12:34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. For by your words, listen closely, by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Now that summarizes why I'm here. I love this man over here. I've never been with him when he says, Brother Dick Iverson, everything is bad. Everything's going downhill. I don't know how long I can last as a pastor. I've never heard that. I've heard just the opposite. I've heard him say, I love the house of God. I love preaching. I love to see what God's doing in New Song. For 40 years, he's been blessing people after people. And I get blessed listening to him. And that's why I like to be around him whenever I can, because he puts something in me. Now, how about you? Do you add to people or do you take away? Do you lift them up or do you push them down? Now, that's all done by this thing called the mouth. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Everything you say has power. God wants to touch your friends. He wants to touch your neighbors. He wants to touch the unsaved by your mouth. And if you don't understand this simple thing, you will be an attitude of unbelief. And according to the scriptures here that I've, excuse me, I've already read, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you say, you're going to have to give an account to it. Now, you think of that. When you came to church, What did you say? Oh, I hope that Iverson doesn't bore me. Well, guess what? I'm going to bore you. That's just the way it is. Whatever you say, you're going to get. That's why your mouth is so important to God. Let me read a few more scripture. I like this scripture. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, those words, are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. You can rise no higher than your word. You can be a Christian, go to heaven if that's all you want, but you will never rise any higher than what you say. Your words will take you down the road to success or failure. Now, I know I look very young, and I'm 87. How about that? Come on. 87 years I've been walking with the Lord. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. As a man confesses what he believes, if it's positive, he'll grow. If it's negative, he'll fail. It doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. If that's all you want out of life, Lord, I just want to go to heaven. Well, that's all you're going to get out of life. You get to go to heaven and live in heaven forever. But you've got to guard what you say. What do you say? There was a little story I read once about a little boy. He was out on the street, and he had a little puppy. And this puppy was dirty and all matted, and he had a little sign on it as he stood there, for sale, 3 cents. And a friend of his looked at him and said, "Son, you're not going to sell that unless you take some pride in what you have. Go home, wash it real good, put some perfume on it, put a bowl around its neck, and come back out here and stand there proud of that little puppy, and you'll sell it." And the little boy said, "Okay." And he took it home, put it in the bathtub, scrubbed it real good, put some perfume on it, and he put a bowl around his neck, and he came out in the street, and he put a different sign. It said, "For sale, $3,000. And the man saw the sign and thought, you know, that's kind of a little heavy on getting rid of that puppy for $3,000 when he wanted just 3 cents a little while ago. He walked by that same spot later in the day and saw the sign laying on the sidewalk and wrote through it, "Sold," over the $3,000. He couldn't believe it. The boy sold it for $3,000. He knew where the boy lived, and he went and knocked on the door. The little boy came to the door, and he said, "Did you sell your little puppy?" "Oh, yes, I sold it." "What did you get out of it?" $3,000. "You got $3,000 out of that little puppy?" "Oh, yeah." "How did that go?" "Well," he said, "as I'm standing there, a young little boy came down the street, and he had two $1,500 cats, and I took them on trade." He got his $1,500 twice, $3,000. So, you know, what you say is very important. God will help you, even if he sends two cats along to help you. There's a number of scriptures that really are my favorite scriptures. If you turn over to one of my favorites, it's found over in Romans, the 10th chapter. And this is what it says. The righteousness of faith speaks on this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend into the abyss and bring Christ out of the dead. But what does it say? Now get that emphasis there in the Bible. What does faith say? Faith is not operating until you speak it. What does it say? The word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we speak. That if you will confess, listen to what it says. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can't be saved without using your mouth. I can't say, I'm thinking about Jesus. That makes me a Christian. No, not until you say it with your mouth. Amen. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I believe God raised him from the dead, and I accept him as my personal Savior. He's my Lord from this moment on. I'm going to walk with the Lord because he's my Savior. You can't rise any higher than your confession. Well, that follows through. It says in the Bible, as you receive Christ, so you walk in him. How did you receive Christ? Right here. Jesus, be my Lord. Now he says, that's the principle you walk in. That may sound very simple, but if you don't have a faith attitude, you're not going to be blessed of God. I've been around for many, many years, beyond my 44, pastoring one church. I've never seen anybody prosper that didn't have a faith attitude. That's why I'm here today, because your pastor has a faith attitude. Everything he says lifts you up. I like to be around that kind of person. His words are faith words. He believes what he has. And there's three things that are important, I know, to him, to me, to any leader. Vision, faith, and courage. Remember those three. You need vision. If you don't have any vision, you don't need any faith. So you need vision. It says, without a vision, people perish. If you don't believe God can help you, God can supply your needs, God can add to your wealth and bless your work, it's not going to happen. You got to have vision. Then you got to have faith in that vision. And then you have to have courage. You may wonder, how could God help me? I'm stuck in a low-paying job. How could he possibly help me? Well, I tell you what, and I've watched it happen in my 44 years of pastoring. People who have faith in their daily life, they believe God, they trust God, he opens doors after doors after doors because they say with their lips, Jesus, be my Lord. You said, my God will supply all of my needs according to his rich in glory. He will supply every need I need. And I'm looking at people that are wealthy in your spirit because you have found a pastor who has spoke the word of truth to you over and over again. And even as he was leading the worship today, Pastor, I received a lot just in his spirit as he led the worship. I said, I would love to be in this house. This is a great house. This place should be packed to the doors because your pastor will lead you into the blessings of God. Amen. Now, I want to read another scripture that is one of my favorite scriptures. And that's found over here in Mark, the 10th chapter. I want you to hear this scripture. And I hope you're listening to what I'm saying, because it's a simple truth, but it will yield fruit every time. In Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 22, it says, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For I assure you, I say to you, whoever says," here's your mouth again, "whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now that's quite a promise. "Therefore I say to you, whatever you ask," that's speaking now, "when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, it couldn't be any clearer. He says, if you have a mountain and you'd like to see that mountain out of the way and be cast into the sea, and that's not a literal sea, that's a spiritual sea, then he says, speak to that mountain and don't doubt in your heart, but let that financial lack or that relational problem or that physical problem, let it be cast from you, and let God come down and touch you, body, soul, and spirit. And he will do it. Amen. I've watched it, and over the many years, I've actually been serving the Lord over 60 years, besides pastoring the church for 44. But you got to believe what you say. If you don't believe what you say, why say it? Amen. So, you got to say to your mountains, be cast into the sea, and it will be gone. Amen. Some of you right now are thinking, you know, I've got a financial need. How am I going to get God to supply that need? Speak to that mountain. Say, mountain of poverty, be thou removed in Jesus' name. And do you know when you say it, the heavens respond, and God will see to it that the finances will come. I've watched this happen all of my life. But you got to believe, no doubts. But when you speak to the mountain, "I need a healing. Lord Jesus, you said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." I believe that. I really believe that. And I've watched him touch my body over the years. And I'm standing here with no pain. My heart's ticking okay. I'm still in good shape. And so God's saying to you right now, what is your mountain? Well, You figure that out. Maybe you have no mountain. You're all the money you need, all the relationships are all good, everything's going the right way, I'm happy, I don't need anything. Well, guess what? You don't need anything. God doesn't have to help you because you say you've got it all. And that's not real life. Everybody has a mountain. Everybody has something they need to believe God for. And that miracle will take place as you speak. See, God created the world how? Let there be light. When he made man, what did he say? Read it in Luke 4. when Jesus was tempted, he said, whatever you say, it will be done. I believe those things. I don't know about you. Now, it may take a while, but I ask God to supply all my needs, and he has done it over and over and over again. This is not a fairy tale. This is for everybody. God did not want you to be the tail. He wants you to be the head. He doesn't want you to lack. He wants to give you prosperity and blessing. This house belongs to Jesus. Did you know that? And your pastor is a man of faith, and he's imparted to you over and over and over and over again for 40 years. So why can't you just believe you're going to grow? You're going to fill all these seats. You're going to pack it out. I can see this place full, and I think it'll not only be full, but be full twice. You have 1,000 people here in this building because you are people of faith. God wants to bless New Song. Do you believe that? I believe that. Come on. I believe that. Amen. So let's take a new attitude towards life. And not just wait for a problem, but speak to the mountain. To the mountain say, be thou removed and be cast out of my way. And I believe you, Lord Jesus, you will take care of that mountain. And guess what? You will be free from that mountain, because that's the Bible. I'm not giving you my opinion. That's the Bible. Whatever you say, if you believe what you're saying and believe that God can do it, then he's going to do it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to bow your heads in prayer, please. Every head bowed. God wants to touch this house this morning in a very unique way. He wants you to know that he loves you, and he wants to have you speak to your mountain. And so I want you right now to think, what mountain do I have right now that I need to cast out of my life? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a certain sin that's got a hold of you, and you need to be set free from it. You will be set free as soon as you say, Lord Jesus, set me free from this addiction in Jesus' name. And guess what? The power of God will come down upon you, and you will be set free from any addiction. And no matter what man says, man cannot stop God from delivering you from any addiction. He loves you. He gave himself for you that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Amen. As your heads are bowed, I wonder if you have an addiction or a problem, a relation problem, a physical problem, a financial problem, and you really need God today to help you. Can I see your hand? Just put it up high. Many hands. Hands all over the building. We're going to believe God for a miracle today. On your 40th anniversary, you're going to believe the Lord's going to set you free, and he's going to do it. Now, I want everybody to stand to your feet right now. Everybody stand, please. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I'm going to ask God to remove that mountain. I believe, you believe, let's agree with the Bible. This is not a matter of some fairy tale. This is the Word of God. So as I pray, I want you to say to your mountain, be thou removed. And don't doubt in your heart, but believe that that mountain will be cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord Jesus, I pray right now The Holy Spirit will come upon this house in a new way in this 40th anniversary, that you will set this place free from any addiction, any broken relationship. Lord, reestablish today, Lord, the things that you want in this house. Come right now, Lord Jesus, and let there be healing that will take place. Physical healing, spiritual healing, financial healing. Lord, right now, let the power of God rest upon us. I want you now to begin to pray out loud. Say to your mountain, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we believe that right now you're doing miracles. Lord, you are a God of miracles. We sang about it. You're the way maker. We believe that, Lord. We trust you right now that you will cause the spirit of this house to grab a hold of our lives and change us from this day on. Lord, we want to grow. We want to be strong. We want New Song to be known throughout this whole area. This house is in your hands, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you know the song, sing it. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.